Good morning, podcast audience, and particularly Local 304, and especially my branch, Columbus, Ohio. Hey, listen, let's spend the next couple of mornings discussing Article 12 in our national agreement. Now, let me tell you something. There are many versions and interpretations to how Article 12 is litigated, for lack of a better phrase. So we're going to have a conversation. And during this conversation, it's a give and take. So again, I'm using our contract as the reference. And then please chime in with your understanding if it differs from anything that I may be putting out. Here we go. Now, but before we talk Article 12, there's just some basic definitions that I think we need to establish. And if we look at Article 12.2, Section D, there's a few definitions that I want to cover. Craft group. And again, this is coming directly from page 41. I'm going to give the definitions from D1 to D9. Craft group. A craft group is comprised of those positions for which the union has secured exclusive recognition at the national level. D2 talks about seniority standings. D2A, seniority for full-time employees is computed from the date of appointment in the craft and continues to accrue so long as service in the craft, regardless of level and installation, is uninterrupted, except as otherwise provided herein. D2B, seniority for part-time fixed schedules employees, is computed from the date of appointment in this category of the workforce and continues to accrue so long as service in the craft and category and installation is uninterrupted. D3, duty assignment. A duty assignment is a set of duties and responsibilities within recognized positions regularly scheduled during specific hours of duty. D4, preferred duty assignment. A preferred duty assignment is any assignment preferred by a full-time employee or a part-time fixed schedule employee within the employee's category. Now, again, I am not attempting to bore you, but I think there are some basic definitions, if we're going to talk Article 12, that you have to have some kind of a grasp on. D5, now we talk about bids, and they define what a bid is in your contract. A request submitted in writing by telephone or by computer to be assigned to a duty assignment by an employee eligible to bid in a vacancy or newly established duty assignment or a preferred assignment, where telephone, computer, or other electronic bidding procedures are established, bids must be submitted by telephone, computer, or other electronic methods as agreed by the parties. So that just gave you the definition of what a bid is. D6, application. A written request by a full-time employee or a part-time fixed schedule employee within the employee's respective category for consideration for an assignment in which the employee is not entitled to submit a bid. That is by definition an application. And we're going to come back and visit D6 application at another show. D7, let's talk about the definition, or let's define abolishment, a management decision to reduce the number of occupied duty assignments in an established section or in installation. Now let's talk about how a reversion is different from abolishment. A reversion is a management decision to reduce the number of duty assignments in an installation when such duty assignments are vacant. Okay? If it's vacant, it's a reversion. If you're in it and they want to reduce it, it can be abolished. residual vacancy, a duty assignment that remains vacant after the completion of the voluntary bidding process. So again, we talked about application, abolishment, reversion, residual vacancy. So then we covered some definitions such as duty assignment, seniority standings, and craft group. And again, I don't mean to bore you with that, but I want you to go back and forth and refer to those references, because as we talk Article 12, when they talk about a duty assignment or when they talk about an abolishment as opposed to a reversion, then you have to know that if we're talking abolishment, that means somebody's in that position. And if we're talking reversion, that means someone bid out of it, it's vacant, now they're going to get rid of it.
I would like to say, of the 39 articles in our national agreement, Article 12 probably is the most complex. But just so we can establish a baseline, this series of podcasts is not designed to dissect Article 12 in its entirety. This podcast, series of podcasts, will be designed to address just certain aspects. And we're going to talk about bids. We're going to talk about successful bidders. We're going to talk about occupying your bid. We're going to talk about what happens if you don't occupy your bid. So just so we set the framework, this series of podcasts is only designed to talk about four topics: a bid, the successful bidder, when you should occupy your bid, and what happens if you don't occupy your bid. Now, and let me tell you, the reason we have shaped to just these four topics is because this is a actually live situation going on currently in the Columbus, Ohio plant. There were some new bids posted. Some folks were successful bidders. They're in the bids, but the bid is not being, the bid is allegedly not being filled because the AGVs, which is what the bids are predicated on, haven't arrived yet. So again, let's find out what should happen. And let me say to the mail handlers who are the successful bidders, don't look at this as someone is trying to attack your bid or your position, okay? Because what we want to do, or what I want to be instrumental in, is understanding what just happened and looking at it from a contractual, purely contractual point of view, and help members understand what happened. See, is this call, is it just called educating and keeping members advised? That's all it's called. So please don't look at this as mail handlers or Ken Hodges trying to do something against your bid. That's not at all what's happening here. I'm sure that, you know, again, I say the post office never follows rules and regulations, but I'm sure that as we look at this from a contractual perspective, we're going to find one or two things out here. And again, I mean, it's not like anyone is saying, you know, you have a bid or you don't have a bid, but because you're in a different bid section, now you can come in every day for overtime for an area of operation that don't exist, thereby management continues to violate Article 8 overtime. No, it's not like anyone is saying that. I just want to educate the members on what happens when you bid and get awarded a job that's not ready to be filled at this time. That's all. All right, let's talk about bids. Now, as in D5 and D6 of Article 12.2, we understand about bids. But what I want to point out to you is right after Section D5 of 12.2, they say see page 160. And on page 160, there's an MOU about employee bidding. And it just breaks down in detail about
who can bid, how to bid, how many bids you get. So I just want to point your attention to that page 160. Again, it's an MOU, Memorandum of Understanding, on employee bidding. And if you were to go to Article 12.3, Section D, it would actually give you information on notices inviting bids. Notices inviting bids shall include D1, the duty assignment, as defined in Section 12.2D3, if applicable, by position, title, and number, example, key, standard, or individual position. D2 is the PS or MH salary level and craft. Then it must have hours of duty, beginning, ending. The principal assignment area, example, section and or location of activity. Qualification standards and occupational code number. Physical requirements, usually to the specific assignment, heavy lifting, etc. Invitation to employees to submit bids. In D8, the fixed schedule of days of work. So I just wanted to explain to you some of the information that should be incorporated in your bid. And again, that came out of Section 12.3, Paragraph D. And I guess that'll answer our first of four questions about bids. So let's move right to 12.3E and our second topic, which is successful bidders. And again, I like to kind of read to you from the contract and then give you my version or the CHEMS version so that at least we are having conversation on the same reading, at least, or the same words. Therefore, the understanding just becomes a little different. Okay, Article E1, within 10 days after the closing date of the posting, including December, the installation head shall post a notice stating the successful bidder and the bidder seniority date. The senior qualified bidder meeting the qualification standards established for the position shall be designated the successful bidder. E2, the successful bidder must be placed in the new assignment within 15 days except in the month of December. Normally, an employee shall work the duty assignment for which the employee has been designated the successful bidder. However, when an employee is moved off the employee's duty assignment, the employee shall not be replaced by another employee. For temporary assignments not covered by Article 25, the movement of people outside the bid assignment area, and then it gives a pecking order. You know what? Interesting bit of information. Did you know all vacant duty assignments must be posted for bid within 28 days unless management determines that the position is to be reverted? Now, again, just like I asked you to check the dates on your step two stamped in grievances, how many of you are fully aware of positions in your locations that have been vacant forever, not been reverted, not been anything, just not posted? Again, this is what an aggressive union will guarantee you. And I want to just say real quick, when management tries that bluff card, well, if you're going to make me adhere to the timeline, then I'll just revert all these positions. I want to say to you, and think about this, what would be the difference between having a position reverted or having a position that is never going to be filled? So let's not fall for their buffoonery. But I've got a bit of a issue here as we start to talk about successful bidders. And I'm going to probably end this podcast with this question. And trust me, it is a sincere question. Under 12.3E, we talk about successful bidder.
And it reads, and stay with me, please. Within 10 days after the closing date of the posting, the installation head shall post a notice stating the successful bidder and the bidder's seniority date. The senior qualified bidder meeting the qualifications standards established for the position shall be designated the successful bidder. Now, the successful bidder must be placed in the new assignment within 15 days, except in the month of December. And here's my question, and it's an important question. Is that 15 days from the closing date, or is that 15 days from the 10 days after the closing date that the installation has to post that notice? And it's a very sincere question. I kind of went to the Kim, wasn't really, it didn't clarify for me. So if anybody could help me resolve that question, I would really appreciate it. And again, just for the sake of conversation, if your response to that question could be with a reference, again, I try to be a student of the game, with a reference, I would greatly appreciate it. And listen, I know some of you may look at that and say, well, we've got bigger issues. All I want to say to you is little becomes much. That 180 degrees, new direction, we're here to lead.